Robot or not, robot or not.
John, I got a request from a John Siracusa to discuss the differences between supercar and hypercar. Not hypercard, which is totally different. The differences between a supercar and a hypercar. You wanted to talk about this in the past when you sent an email to robot@theincomparable.com. So now I ask you, why do you want to talk about this?
There was another part of that question, I believe, which was only if we haven't already talked about this. I'm assuming you checked.
I checked. I do search my memory and then also occasionally search theincomparable.com to find out if we've talked about a subject, but I'm pretty sure we haven't.
I'm kind of regretting that I sent this in, because the reason I sent this in is it's quite a stumper. I am very into
you've
cars.
You stumped yourself.
Yeah, I'm very into cars, and I've been reading car magazines since I was a wee tot. I've had a continuous subscription to Car and Driver magazine since seventh grade, even though it's getting smaller and it's only released like six times a year now. It's sad. You know how it is in the print magazine world, Jason.
Yes, don't I ever.
But anyway, I watch tons of YouTube videos about cars. I'm very into cars. And this language, supercars and hypercars, that distinction started arriving, I don't know, it's probably a few decades ago. And as time has gone on and more people have made cars and those cars have been labeled by reviewers and the public, every time I see the use of the word supercar or hypercar, I'm like, yeah, but what's really the difference now? In the very, very beginning, when no one had used the phrase hypercar and everyone had just called things supercars, you're familiar with the phrase supercar, right?
Yes.
It's like a very fancy sports car that costs a lot of money, that's not your average car, and that name now, came up to sort of distinguish it from regular cars.
I'm going to stop you for a second, though, because one thing I'm not clear on that I want you to clear up for me is, does this refer to cars that are sold, or those cars that show up at car shows where they're like, we've made this amazing thing that's incredible and we will never, ever, ever ship it, which is a concept car, I guess. But sometimes those are supercar concept cars. But you're talking about something you could actually buy if you had lots and lots of money?
For supercars, these are road legal cars that are sold to individuals that they drive on the road.
Okay.
Real things, real products.
Real products.
And supercar was like, to give an example for people who aren't familiar with the phrase, the Corvette is not a supercar, or wasn't. Let's say decades ago, the Corvette was not a supercar. It was just a very fancy sports car. But a Lamborghini would be a supercar. A Ferrari would be a very fancy Ferrari would be a supercar. That was kind of the distinction. It was much more expensive, much more rare, much more focused on performance, able to do things the regular cars can't. Even though a Corvette might have been almost as fast or just as fast, it wasn't a supercar because Corvettes were not rare. They weren't that expensive. And it was fine. But regular cars and supercars. But, kind of like the blade count inflation at Gillette, at a certain point, car manufacturers decided that they're always trying to one-up each other. Like, we have the fastest car, we have the best supercar or whatever. It's debatable who like broke through this barrier first. It'd be interesting for some etymologists to look up the first use of hypercar, because I'm not sure if a manufacturer used it first or reviewers used it first, but someone who decided, we've been trying to make these cars that cost, in like 1980s money or whatever, like 100 grand or something, 200 grand. And we're trying to keep it in like that six figure ballpark. But what if we didn't do that? What if we said seven figures is fine? And there was a seven-figure car. That's ridiculous. Maybe for like an antique or something, like a rare museum piece that's, has historical value that could be millions of dollars. Sure, but like a new off-the-line car in 1980, whatever, and you're going to charge millions of dollars, or 1990 or whatever. Someone decided, yeah, we're gonna do that. We're going to make a car that is so much more expensive and probably also so much more rare than other cars, and we're going to spend that money to give it so much better performance. This is no longer a supercar. This is another category of car. We're going to call it a hypercar. And when that first happened, the distinction was clear, because it was like, well, supercars are cost around this much and are this rare and have this kind of performance. And hypercars cost significantly more,
right?
Have more performance. There's so few of them. Maybe there's only one or two when this name is coming into being, right? But what happened over time is that, first of all, car performance has gotten way, way, way better. Very quickly. Forget about electricity. Just setting aside, internal combustion engines have gotten so much more powerful that even the mere supercars weren't that far off in performance from the supposed hypercars. And by the way, the Chevrolet Corvette also got way, way, way faster. And it was like, well, you could get a Ferrari for $300,000, or you can get a Corvette for $100,000 that's just as fast or faster. Is one of those a supercar? And then, but then the hypercars out there is like, well, I'm $2 million. And, you know, eventually they started to have, you know, hybrid batteries in them too. So I'm like, I'm part electric, I'm part gas. I have over 1,000 horsepower, which is another hypercar thing, combined over 1,000 horsepower, 1,200 horsepower, whatever. And the pure electric 2,000 horsepower things, those are also hypercars. I cost millions of dollars. They're going to make 100 of me ever. I'm a hypercar. But now, like, every new fast car that comes out would qualify for that definition of a hypercar. Like, every single one. They're all, like, over $1 million because of inflation. So the six-digit versus seven-digit distinction is messed up. They all have, like, 1,000 horsepower or more because that's so easy to do now. They all have, a battery plus some ridiculous engine. And it's a real difficult time, I think, in the car world to figure out what's a supercar or hypercar. It's almost like no one wants to be seen to be making a supercar anymore. Anytime you put out a new car that's really fancy, of course it's a hypercar, because hypercar is better than supercar, and you would never make a supercar. So, like, nobody even says this is our new supercar or describes it as a supercar. So I think we're in a position where hypercar is starting to replace supercar, because no one wants to call things supercars anymore, even though technically they are in every possible way, and they only refer to hypercars. So this is why this is a stumper. And I think that's where I kind of come down, is that supercar is on its way out,
right,
as a term that people use to describe cars, because it is now seen as lesser. And as soon as, like, it's like the arms race. As soon as hypercar was introduced, it's like, well, we would never make anything that's not a hypercar. So, you know, all of our best, you know, are the best car from brand X. Of course, it, you know, it's a hypercar. Not every Ferrari is a hypercar. There's only one. It's like the F80 is a hypercar. The LaFerrari is a hypercar. The lesser ones are not. But no one refers to the lesser Ferraris as supercars. So there's just like supercars are going extinct and hypercars have replaced them.
Yeah, you're right. This is a natural language evolution in action, I think, where driven in this case, I think, kind of by hype and marketing, but like that happens. That's one of the ways that language evolves. The idea is that we had an intensifier on this car and it wasn't intense enough. And so we re-intensified it, at which point everybody needs to flee the old intensifier and go to the new intensifier.
Yeah, and they had the new intensifier because there was a clear distinction. But
sure.
Inflation plus time and technology changing has started to erase that distinction.
And it'll probably happen again.
Because inflation just made them all 7 digits.
Right? I mean, there'll probably be a mega car or something someday.
I think mega is less than hyper.
I don't know. What's above hyper? I don't know. It goes kilo.
You have to pronounce it the French way.
Mega
car.
Giga, Terra, Google. Yeah, Google. Google car.
Yeah, it's a different thing. The real problem we have is the contact patch between the tire and the car is essentially the limiting factor. But if we ever overcome that in some way, then we're going to start killing people with G-forces. So we've got some problems in the car realm.
And do some human engineering then. So last question for you. As a longtime Mac person, like literally every time I hear the word hypercar, I think about HyperCard. And I think that I'm going to be, you know, double-clicking and reading some books or experiencing some multimedia. Does that have you paid attention to cars long enough that it doesn't bother you? Because it's driving me nuts when you say hypercar, because I think of Bill
Atkinson. It doesn't bother me, but I do think about Supermac. Do you remember Supermac?
Mm-hmm.
But Supermac, I do. Technology,
I do, which was cool. a funny story, right? Because they were a maker of like monitors and stuff, and they had a license from Apple. It was actually allowed to use it in that context of Supermac. And then when in the clone era, they had the license and they're like, great, we're making clones. And they actually made clones called Supermac, and the license allowed them to do it, which some lawyer made a big mistake. But
well, I mean, that didn't last that long.
They didn't, but that was just like all the clones didn't last that long. But yeah, Supermac.
Yeah, supercar, hypercard, and Supermac. No, I don't. Those parts of my brain are clearly
totally separate.
Off, so I don't suffer from
that. Yeah, I've not built up the hypercar portion of my brain. I'm just all in on hypercard.
The car. Hypercar. The car. What is that from?
I don't know. Oh, the car. The car.
The car.
Oh, what is that from? I actually have seen that.
Cathcart Towers Hotel.
No, I don't think I can do it.
Fish Called Wanda.
Yes, that's it. That's it.
He's got a stutter. He's trying to tell them where they are. Mm. And John Cleese is trying to coax it out of him. It's Michael Palin and John Cleese. He's trying to coax the word out of him. He's got the stutter. It's not fun to making fun of someone's stutter, but that's what you did back in the 80s. You made fun of people with disabilities.
It is a thing that happened.
It is.
I thought you were making a different reference, which is send in the car. Do you remember that? Send in the car, the guy says.
Yeah, no. Was that the villain from Waterworld?
No, send in the car is what one of the FBI guy says when they're going to totally solve the Die Hard problem by sending their car in. Or was it the LAPD guy, I guess, maybe? And it's immediately like a rocket destroys it.
Another LAPD incredibly guy. Dated thing in a movie where now all the police have this ridiculous military equipment.
Right, but not back then.
Can you imagine police having something
that was
like
their,
this?
That was their big, that was their big armored vehicle, and it was just immediately destroyed. Anyway, we have gotten off track.
The quarterback is toast.
So I hope you satisfied your own question, John.
Yeah, I think that's where I come down. I think people don't want to call their things supercars anymore. I bet some of them still would, but it's on its way out.
Robot.